The day after the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history, Illinois reacts.
It's important for me and for this city and this state to send our love and our thoughts and our prayers to those families in Orlando, those families who are still looking for their loved ones.
We talked to members of the LGBTQ community across the state, from Equality Illinois in Chicago to the Phoenix Center in Springfield. Later, we've been without a budget for almost an entire year. Today we ask, will how politicians have behaved in this, regardless of their party, affect how you vote this fall?
It has made me less fond of some of the Democratic candidates in terms of their unwillingness to kind of work this out.
I just won't vote for anybody that's in there right now.
I probably just won't vote Republican because the governor didn't really introduce a budget that could be passed.
All this hour, we're taking your calls, whether it's about Orlando or the budget. You can weigh in. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455, or you can tweet to 21st Show. That's coming up this hour on the 21st. This is the 21st. I'm Nyla Boudou. Flags are flying at half-staff all across Illinois, the country, and parts of the world in remembrance of the victims who died this weekend at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. We know this is a tragedy that everyone is feeling through and talking about, and you can share your thoughts or comments with us now on the air as we talk about how Illinois reacts to this tragedy. Our phone number, as always, is 1-800-222-9455, or you can tweet to 21st Show. That's 21ST Show. Last night, many gathered in Chicago's Boys Town neighborhood for a vigil.
I feel a very personal sense of attack. Those are my brothers. Those are my sisters. Those are people I love.
It was like a double punch in the stomach for me. So I couldn't sit by idle. It's important for me and for this city and this state to send our love and our thoughts and our prayers to those families in Orlando, those families who are still looking for their loved ones.
Everybody here is smart enough to know that the extremists of all traditions belong to only one tradition, the tradition of extremism.
We're going to be talking to people all across the state today, from Springfield to Chicago. And joining me now is Benjamin DaCosta. He actually used to work at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, and he's now an HIV counselor in Chicago. Benjamin, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, thank you.
Benjamin, I'm so sorry for your loss. I don't even know what words we can use right now to express that. How are you coping?
I'm okay, floating in there. Just trying to make sure everybody is accounted for and that we are able to start the grieving process so we can move forward.
Yeah, and I know that I saw you posted on Facebook last night. So far, you know that you have more than a dozen friends who were inside and unfortunately passed away.
Correct.
I wonder if you could explain to everybody, you worked at Pulse. You worked there as a dancer for a while. Can you describe what the nightclub was like for the community?
The nightclub was a staple for the Central Florida community. It had been around for 12 years, and it started as a memorial to the owner's brother who died due to HIV. And so the club has a deep history of entrepreneurial spirit and also giving back to the community.
And Ben, I know you're actually on your way back to Illinois right now, and I saw you post on Facebook that was comforting to see the support. We just played part of the vigil last night in Chicago. I wonder how much that support means to you personally to see the expressions and vigils that people are having across the country right now.
It definitely moved me to tears to see Chicago really stand up and in unity and solidarity with Orlando, because these two places are home to me. And to know that I have brothers and sisters in Chicago to cry on and to, you know, have a place to talk to is refreshing.
Yeah. I don't know if this is even possible for you to describe. I mean, in terms of right now, I know today's a really tough day because we're starting to see the lists come out. Has that been something you've been able to look at yet?
I have chosen not to. I don't think I can handle right now any more names or knowing of anybody else. So I'm just giving myself maybe a couple of more hours to process before I go back and look at the names to see who else I know.
Mm. Ben, when did you first hear about the news? Was it yesterday morning?
I was actually up for an early morning flight. I was on Facebook and saw that the club posted on Facebook saying, everybody get out and keep on running. So I thought there might have been a fire or some sort of malfunction at the club. And then I started seeing friends post that there was a shooting. And then that's when the news started breaking that it was a mass shooting and that there were many, many injuries and many deaths.
Well, I can't even imagine how hard it must have been to process that, because I'm sure you must have just thought, why, how could something like this happen at a place that I've spent so many years working and knowing all of, and, you know, it's really part of your family, as you said.
Yeah, it definitely, you feel helpless. You feel like just watching this go down and seeing your friends being carried out of the club on mainstream media definitely is just one of the feelings that you, unless you go through it, you can't describe it, because it's not the saying it hits close to home. No, this is home.
And are you, I mean, as you're thinking about, as we're talking about events, you know, the vigil that we had last night in Boys Town, there are other events that are happening throughout Illinois and the country. How do you think people can best express their support right now?
There's an official GoFundMe for the victims. It's GoFundMe/ Pulse Victims Fund. It's held by Equality Florida, and all proceeds will be going towards the victims' families and funeral costs.
And Benjamin, one more question for you. Are you going to be able, do you think you'll be able to be back? I know you're about to head down to Orlando. Do you think you're going to be making it back up in Chicago for the Pride festivities here? I know not this weekend, but maybe for the parade the following weekend?
Most likely I'll be there. I don't know in what capacity yet, but I definitely want to be there to show that Orlando loves Chicago just as much as Chicago loves Orlando.
Ben DaCosta is an HIV counselor in Chicago. He used to work at the Pulse nightclub. Ben, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us during such a difficult time. Have a safe trip, okay?
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I want to go now to Jonna Cooley. She's the executive director at the Phoenix Center in Springfield, that's Central Illinois' LGBTQ community center. Jonna, welcome to the 21st. I'm sorry it's under such circumstances.
Thank you.
You all have been, you're established as a safe space year-round for the community. What are you hearing from people right now?
I think most of the folks that are in Central Illinois feel a sense of loss, and at the same time, they don't really know what they can do to help and aren't really sure, what their role is.
Mm-hmm. What are you guys telling folks?
Basically, we have put together a memorial that we're going to do here at the Phoenix Center on Wednesday evening. So it's going to allow the local LGBT community to get together to support one another and to be a part of something that is about Orlando, so that folks can feel like that they are doing something, and just give everybody a sense of being together.
Yeah, Jonna, how are you feeling about things right now?
I just feel like, you know, we work really hard to create what we consider safe spaces for people to meet for groups and services and for our Pride events and things like that. And I don't know that you can be guaranteed that any space is safe. It just creates concern, I think, not only for the LGBT community, but for anyone, based on the fact that there are so many folks who hate various groups.
What do you want people who maybe aren't necessarily affiliated with the community or people who aren't personally affected by this, what do you want them to know about this? How can they show their support?
I think we're all personally affected by it. I think that any time that anyone in this country is killed or hurt because of who they are is a problem for everyone, because ultimately we could all be at risk for one reason or another. And, you know, I just think that one of the things that people can do is to really not tolerate any hatred and hateful remarks. I think that we have to stand up and defend each other to let people know that, that comments and actions that are negative are not going to be tolerated, and to better educate people so that they understand that, you know, the LGBT folks or people of various races and ethnicities that, you know, were not bad just because somebody told you that or somebody made a comment about it one time, and that's what you assume, because so much of this hatred is learned.
Hmm. We're asking everyone, everyone who's listening, to share your comments and thoughts as well. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet your comments as well to 21st Show. Laura says, as a mom, I feel sick and lost. Politicians need to put citizen safety over the agenda of the gun lobby. Again, our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show as well. Let's go to Trish in Champaign. Hi, Trish. Welcome to the 21st.
Hi. Thank you.
What's your comment, Trish?
Well, I was just asked this morning by one of your WIL colleagues to call in, and it was in response to a Facebook post that I put on my wall last night. I have a son that came out last year. He's 18, soon to be 19, and he, you know, of course, I have a vested interest in anything to do with the LGBTQ community. And so I just posted basically that, of course, our hearts and our, you know, love go out to those people that have lost people in that tragedy in Orlando. And that as a mother of a gay man, you know, my bitterness and outrage is focused on any of these, on the, quote, human being that perpetuated this and any affiliates he had that were involved. But I also added that there's a lot of layers to this. And one of them is, do I hate Islamics? And I don't. I don't want to target any group of people. And I don't want to generalize across the board and want people together according to, you know, any kind of race, religion, social or sexual orientation or anything. I also have a brother that's Iranian, and he's one of the greatest men I've ever known. And so while this is such a tragedy, and it makes me afraid. It makes me afraid for my son. He's the gentlest soul ever, and he's an upstanding young man, and so yes, it makes me nervous for him, but at the same time, I just want people to tread lightly over these next few weeks and not let things be blown out of proportion, and make sure we're focused on what really the issues are, and, you know,
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Trish. I really appreciate it. Thanks. I know this is a tough time for everyone. And, you know, Jonna, that's the one question I wanted to ask you as well. I mean, I know this is a really, everyone's coping with this in their own individual ways. And I think particularly, I wonder if you have advice particularly for parents, what to say to their, especially if their children are not, and as you said, it's not just for parents of children of the LGBTQ community, but what kind of words of advice would you offer for them right now?
Wow, that's a really hard question. I think that the messages that we're giving, you know, kids now should be the same messages we've always given them. I mean, you don't ever know what's going to happen. I mean, we found that people go to places that they think are safe, like schools and movie theaters and, you know, nightclubs, and they end up not being safe. And so I just think that, you know, to teach our kids about just being aware of your surroundings and, you know, making sure that they have an outlet if there's a need to get out of somewhere, and to be aware of that, because I think sometimes we go and we don't think about anything like that and things happening, and, you know, that's when we get trapped in a situation. I just don't think that there's a lot of advice we can give because it's so random and, you know, in these targeted areas that we would least expect. But
do you, Jonah, and I guess that's, I mean, I know that as we think about the circumstances, obviously we don't know the motivation of the person who perpetrated this. We know that he chose to do this in a nightclub that obviously was for the LGBTQ community. It sounds like you're saying that this makes you feel even more vulnerable everywhere.
It does, but, I mean, you can't stop living. So, I mean, I think you just have to recognize that we're all vulnerable. It isn't just about the LGBT community, and I think we just have to, you know, live our lives. You can't be hypervigilant and, you know, isolate because you're fearful of what might happen. And I think that we just have to, you know, be aware and alert and do the best we can, but I just don't think that there's much we can do outside of, you know, creating stricter gun laws and having more services available for people who have mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think there's a whole lot we can do.
Can you remind us, Jonna, can you remind us the vigil that you all are having in the Springfield area? That's Wednesday evening?
Yeah, we're having an event Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. here at the Phoenix Center, and we have some speakers lined up, and it's just an opportunity for the LGBT community to come together to show their support for what's happened in Orlando and to be together to support each other.
That's Jonna Cooley. She's the executive director of the Phoenix Center in Springfield. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
The 21st is made possible by the library at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, preparing students and scholars for their fields by offering access to today's cutting-edge equipment and technology within advanced library environments and facilities. The University Library at Illinois.
Thanks for listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Illinois is reacting to the shootings in Orlando yesterday, the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. We're taking your questions and comments about this as we chat with folks, particularly in the LGBT community across the state. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can keep the tweets coming as well to 21st Show. Let's go to Andrea in Urbana. Hi, Andrea. Welcome to The 21st. What's your comment about all of this?
My thought at the moment is just that the fact that we allow so much easy access to guns in our country, and particularly in the state of Illinois, allows people who are haters or allows people who are in an angry state of mind to be able not just to be haters but to become murderers. We are completely able to stop this. We have the ability to control this and bring these gun deaths down. And we need to go ahead and do that. We need to pass legislation that makes it so that these things stop happening.
Thanks for that comment, Andrea. If you have some as well, you can join us. Again, our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. Let's go to Equality Illinois right now and their CEO, Brian Johnson, who joins us from their offices in Chicago. Brian, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being with us.
Nyla, thank you for having me.
Thanks for taking time today. I know it's been a very busy day for you. Let me just start by, asking you how all of the folks in your office are doing and feeling and reacting to all the events of the past 24 hours.
It is a somber and heavy mood here. I mean, I will tell you a personal story coming in this morning. My nephews, who are 4 and 6, FaceTimed me, because their mother, my sister, sat them down to tell them about the what had happened in Orlando. And they called because they wanted to make sure that I and their other uncle, my husband, were safe. What breaks my heart and makes me angry at the same time is that my nephews learned two horrible facts about our country yesterday or this morning. One is that you can be anyone, could be a victim of a mass murder. And number two is that being a member of the LGBTQ community could make you an additional target. So with those lessons that I know that they're bearing today, it is just with such a heavy heart and an angry heart that we're just reacting to today.
Brian, you know, as we've said a couple, obviously no one knows the actual motivations of the shooter. We know he chose to do it at an LGBT nightclub. Right. And I know this isn't just reopened, but created anew so many wounds that the community already has around violence.
Right.
And I don't
right.
know if it's such a tough question to ask where you guys go from here.
No, it's a tough and it's an important question. I mean, I think, you know, there are hate crimes that happen throughout the state, even now in 2016. I think the last statistic that I saw, at least on a nationwide level, were that 20% of all hate crimes target members of the LGBTQ community. And we're struggling to figure out where we go from here. But I think today it's important to just stay in this place, to acknowledge the tragedy that's happened, to reach out to our community and our allies, and to find ways to come together.
How does this affect Chicago's Pride festivities? I know the festival's next week. The parade is the week after. What are you hoping to see?
I'm hoping to see even more people than we had out last year. One of the sad facts about our history as an LGBTQ community is that the way that we have been marginalized for decades has been to force us into the shadows, into the closet, to encourage us to be shameful about who we are. The only way we respond to that is by coming out together as a community, living into our pride, our strength, and our beauty. And so I hope that anybody who is on the fence about whether or not they should come to any of the festivities, particularly the parade here in Chicago coming up, that they show up.
We're speaking with Brian Johnson. He's the CEO of Equality Illinois. He's joining us from their offices in Chicago. You know, we had the caller, Andrea, talking about gun laws. We just had a comment on Twitter from Chancel Griffin saying politicians need to quit lining their pockets with contributions from the gun lobby and vote with more common sense. I guess I'm curious about, we've seen so many different emotions, this has happened so quickly, it just happened yesterday, but I saw so much of a conversation yesterday of people saying we really have to do something about this. I mean, do you feel like this is also an issue that is yet another issue that the LGBT community, gun control, maybe another issue now that comes into for advocacy among the community?
I think that's a great question. I mean, it is certainly something we as a community will be wrestling with for quite some time. I mean, from what I've read, this was the 998th mass shooting since Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
At some point, we, not only as an LGBTQ community, but the community across the state and across this country, have got to decide how many people can be shot in mass shootings before we're comfortable doing something different.
For folks who are not necessarily in the LGBT community or maybe even don't consider themselves allies, what do you want them to know?
You know, I want them to know that, number one, we are a critical part of everybody's neighborhood in our community. We are teachers and firefighters and policemen and women. We are store owners. We are the people who wait on you at a restaurant. We are, throughout the state, an integral part of our statewide community. And we want people to step up and acknowledge, particularly our political leaders today throughout the week, that this wasn't just an attack on Americans. This was an attack on LGBTQ Americans.
Thanks for sharing that with us, and thanks for taking the time. Brian Johnson is the CEO of Equality Illinois. stay tuned to your station today throughout the day. We'll be, of course, updating this story and have news updates of everything. You can also keep the comments coming on our Facebook page. Search for The 21st and keep the conversation going there. You're listening to The 21st. Listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. We're almost to the year mark of being without a state budget. Politicians left Springfield last week at the end of their regularly scheduled session with nothing to show for it. Actually, 2 weeks ago, they've since raised the volume on the finger pointing, with both Democrats and Republicans blaming each other. Starting tomorrow, you're going to be hearing a lot of stories around the issue of how much your vote matters. You can hear those on Morning Edition and All Things Considered. It's part of NPR's A Nation Engaged project that we're taking part in here on The 21st. So today we want to ask you, who are you pointing the finger at? Are you fed up? Will this affect how you vote this fall?
It has made me less fond of some of the Democratic candidates in terms of their unwillingness to kind of work this out.
I just won't vote for anybody that's in there right now.
I'm going to vote for anybody who's not an incumbent who has a chance of getting in. So hopefully the budget will change. I want them to stop acting like two-year-olds and act like grown-ups and put on their big boy pants and get it done.
I'm probably not going to vote in the fall. I hate politics. I think it causes too much drama between people. I just go with the flow, man. My opinion's not going to matter.
I probably just won't vote Republican because the governor didn't really introduce a budget that could be passed.
And it's making Illinois look even more stupid than they already have because of all the governors we have who are in prison. So I like Illinois. I've grown up here. I actually like living here. But this is crazy. It's just crazy.
I did not care about politics 2 years ago. Never took part in it, to be perfectly honest with you. I never voted in a local election, but now I'm going to.
Those are voters in Springfield and Champaign this past weekend. Thanks to Sarah Mueller and Christine Herman for producing that. Here's my question to those of you listening. How are you feeling? Do you agree with the folks who we just talked to? Are you blaming either party? Will this change your vote? Will you stay home? Let us know. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. Again, that's 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show. My guest right now in studio with me, the director of the Institute for Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois, is Christopher Mooney. Hey, Chris, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, Nyla. Thanks for having me on.
On the line with us, Matt Dietrich is the editor of Reboot Illinois. Hey, Matt, thanks for being with us as well.
Thank you, Nyla. Hi, Chris.
Hey there, Matt.
Chris, let's start with this. This is the time of year when politicians are normally back home in their districts, especially those who are campaigning for the fall. How are things different this summer? Do you think there's a different tone to conversations with constituents? Do you think that people are being more vocal this year?
I would think so. And I know that the lawmakers themselves are definitely feeling the pressure. I was with a bunch of them last week at a program that we put on for College Women in Chicago, and they're very disappointed, down in a way that I haven't seen in a long time, or if ever. And frustrated. They want, you know, they serve because they want to help, and they feel like they're not getting that done, and that's driving them nuts. And they know, and they're all walking out in their districts, they're talking to their people, they're knocking on the doors, and you know, it's not common for people to understand what's going on in state government. State government is usually lower on everybody's priority list than most politics, federal politics, local politics, but everybody knows what's going on in Illinois. Everybody's at least more than normal.
Yeah, for probably all the wrong reasons,
exactly,
right? We
yeah.
have voter engagement at this point. Matt, you've said it will be interesting to see who voters punish at the state level for the lack of a budget. What do you mean by that?
Well, we've got a poll today on rebootillinois.com that was done by Capital Facts and We Ask America, and it shows that the majority of voters that they polled blame House Speaker Michael Madigan for the budget impasse. And what I've What I've wondered, and I think what everybody is wondering, is how in November might the budget impasse translate to the legislative races? And the problem with that is that you only have competitive races in about 40% of the races that you're going to see on the ballot in November. So even if you're angry about it, you may not have a choice when you get to your polling place.
I want to talk about that and the competitive races, and this always brings up a much bigger issue, and we're going to get to it in a couple minutes, the whole issue of redistricting, because I think that's something that we often hear from people. But I want to just start with, Matt, your issue about turnout, because we saw with the primaries earlier this year, we had record voter turnout. What do you think fueled that? I mean, obviously, it's a presidential year. Do you think, the main driving impulse behind the record turnout we saw a couple months ago?
I think it was a combination of it being a presidential year. You do typically have a bump in turnout, but this was twice the turnout that we had in the last presidential primary year. In 2012, it was only 23% turnout. We had 46.6% in March, and I think that the fueling that is not just that it was a presidential year, but the kind of presidential year that it is on both sides. You have Donald Trump on the Republican side. We have never seen a candidate like this. And I think that that really pushed Trump supporters to get out and vote. I think it pushed a lot of more mainstream traditional Republicans to get out and vote, trying to stop Trump from being elected. Now, you look at the Democratic side, you also had Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders coming from nowhere. No one expected Bernie Sanders to do anything, and he came very, very close to defeating Hillary Clinton. So I think both sides were extra motivated, and you also had the issue that Illinois was relevant in a primary race for once. We usually are not. In fact, back in 2008, when the primary turnout was 39%, that was when Barack Obama was first running, we moved our primary date to earlier in the year so that we could be relevant. And we had 39% turnout then, and this year, look at what we had, almost 47. So I think we have, you know, this is just a crazy presidential race. We've never had candidates like this. We've never had, you know, you've got anger on the Democratic side in the Sanders vote. You've got anger on the Republican side with the Trump vote. So that's really what drove the turnout.
That's Matt Dietrich on the line with us. He's with Reboot Illinois. In studio with me, Chris Mooney is the director of IGPA at the University of Illinois. You can join us. You can tell us if you're angry about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Governor Rauner or Speaker Madigan. You can let us know. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. We're talking about how the current political situation will be affecting voting in the fall. Chris, this might be a difficult question, but I wonder if Matt's just talking about anger, and it strikes me, we've heard, especially as we spoke to folks over the weekend, so much frustration from people out there about the state government situation, not even about national politics. I don't know if we have a sense of any of that anger maybe translating from the national level to the state level, or if you think they're just two completely different situations right now.
Well, they're certainly complementary. I don't think they stem from the same root. Anger and frustration with government is not something new in 2016. It's not something uniquely American, but it does seem to have risen to a level that we haven't seen. And we've got this sort of two things going on in the state of Illinois that really are ginning things up, I think. And that, as Matt said, maybe that's what drove this pretty astonishing turnout. But in the general election, it may go the other way with so many negative ads that we're going to see. I mean, we're in a situation now where both presidential candidates and the state are going to have a lot of negative ads.
We're going to pick up this conversation in just a minute with Chris Mooney and Matt Dietrich. And you, the phone number is 1-800-222-9455 if you want to join us as we're talking about how what politicians are doing will affect how you vote this fall.
The 21st is made possible by Kester & Bradley, LLP, providing legal services to the Urbana-Champaign community and Illinois residents since 1895. Kester & Bradley's attorneys are committed to achieving the best results for their clients. More information is available at KesterLawLLP.com.
Thanks for listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. We're talking about the vote this fall. We've got lots of campaigns going on. We're in a very unique situation in Illinois, almost a year into not having a budget. And we've been asking and talking to you about how that will affect your vote this fall. And I'm also talking about it with my guests in studio. With me, Chris Mooney is the director of IGPA at the University of Illinois. On the line from Springfield, the editor of Reboot Illinois, Matt Dietrich. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. Again, that's 1-800-222-9455. You know, we've heard a lot of numbers of responses to the questions of whether the budget impasse will change how you vote. And I wanted to play something that a caller to this show a few weeks ago said.
Thank you, Mr. Madigan. I'd like a new Speaker of the House. In an ideal world, his district would vote him out of office.
Here's another perspective from a voter in Urbana.
Due to this recent year's budget impasse, I'm going to do something that I've never done as a young person, and I'm going to take an active front seat role in local politics, and I'm going to see to it that I vote out everyone in the House and Senate at the earliest possibility. And if I can expedite getting Ron or Otto office, I will absolutely do everything in my power to do that too. He's caught my attention because you're strangling my state. You're trying to gut my state. I see you, and I don't like it. And I will do my part to get you out.
You can join us as well and share what you think. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. Matt, you know, we've heard this from so many people. Well, we just want to vote them out. But that's a difficult thing given the way that our districts and our maps are drawn. Can you explain
right.
that?
Well, the system in Illinois allows after the census, after the U.S. Census every 10 years, our state constitution requires that we redraw our legislative district map for our House and state Senate districts. And that job falls to the party that controls the It's a long process, but it falls to the political parties. And what is supposed to happen is in Illinois, if you have, say, like we have now, a Republican governor and Democrats controlling the House and the Senate, all three entities are supposed to come together and agree on a district map. But it never works out that way. They fight to the death so that someone gets the right to draw the map on their own. Now that's happened in some years by literally drawing a name from a hat that determines which party gets to draw the map. In 2010, after the 2010 census, though, we had complete Democratic control of the governor's office, the House, and the Senate. So the Democrats drew the most recent map. The Democrats also won the draw in the year 2000, so they drew that map. The Republicans won the draw in 1990, so they drew that map. And that resulted in Michael Madigan, the only 2 years since 1983 that he has not been Speaker of the House, came in the mid-90s during a Republican-drawn map. When a party draws these maps, they draw them to their favor. They group voters as best suits their needs. And I have said, and Reboot Illinois has been on record, we're very much in support of the independent map amendment, which is, I believe today, there's a press conference today to announce that the Board of Elections has certified that, and there's still going to be a court challenge.
Yeah, man, I want to get to
gerrymandering.
Well, then, right, and I think that's the thing, right, because I think we need to, it is gerrymandering, and the Washington Post actually has a great map. We tweeted a link out. If you follow the 21st Twitter, it's 21st show. Illinois' 4th District, which is in Chicago, is one of the top 10 most gerrymandered districts in the U.S. And just to explain gerrymandering, Chris, I was going to share with everybody. I played Elbridge Gerry in the fourth grade when we did the Constitutional Congress. And I think
that's a hot role you got there.
Yeah, I was kind of irritated. I was like, who is this Elbridge Gerry and why did I get stuck with him? But I think when we think about gerrymandering, many people think it's also, as you know, as Matt was saying, drawing yourself a safe district. And can you just explain to everybody, when we use the term gerrymandering, we hear redistricting, we hear gerrymandering, we hear all these terms thrown out there.
Right. Redistricting is the more objective term. That just means redrawing district maps so that they comply with federal and state requirements. And the main ones, the two main ones that pertain to Illinois are, as they pertain to every state, are equal population in a given chamber for all districts and contiguity. You can't have, except for islands, all the pieces of a district have to touch one another. And because people move around, you know, we're Americans, we're always on the move, right? We're a mobile group. As populations grow and fade in a given area, they have to change those boundaries around every 10 years, like Matt was saying. And that is redistricting. Now, gerrymandering is a pejorative term that suggests some kind of nefarious or ulterior motive going on, whether that be...
Suggesting that politicians have an ulterior motive?
Or whoever's doing the redistricting, let's put it that way. And you know, it's like saying using the word reform when you want a policy change. If you use the word reform, everybody loves reform. And so that sounds good. In this case, if you use the word gerrymandering, it sounds bad, so everybody hates it. You know, sometimes there might be gerrymandering to favor a party, and that's usually what the term is used for, partisan gerrymander. But there can also be incumbent gerrymanders, where especially if in the situation, as Matt was mentioning, where both people from both parties through the legislative process are in power, they compromise and say, okay, we'll just keep everybody in. That's when we saw, you know, congressional districts in 2000 and the 2000 maps for Illinois were like the worst incumbent gerrymanders you ever saw. So that's what we've got there.
1-800-222-9455 is our phone number. Let's go to Eric in Urbana. Hey, Eric, welcome to the 21st. What's your comment about all of this?
Well, Mike Madigan has been in the legislature for approximately 40 years. He now controls the legislature. Government, the state government, and he submitted a budget that was like 17-18% deficit, and we already are deeply in debt. And he has a veto-proof majority in both houses, so I don't see how Rauner can be the blame when Mike Madigan is a virtual dictator in state government. As I say, 40 years, and he's got a veto-proof majority.
So, Eric, if you could, you're not in his district, but it sounds like you would vote him out if you could. I wonder
Absolutely.
If we could get back to – yeah, thanks for that, Eric. I wonder, Matt, if we could get back to this as we're thinking about this independent map amendment. Can you first explain what's been proposed and give us an update of where we're at with that?
The independent map, bottom line is, the independent map amendment proposes forming an independent commission that would oversee drawing the legislative maps. You would not have anyone connected with politics involved, and it would be overseen by the state Supreme Court. So that's and where it's at is they gathered. The number escapes me, but it was, you know, 500,000 signatures of registered voters. They submitted those to the State Board of Elections. I believe today in Chicago, the State Board of Elections is holding a hearing at which they are saying that they passed the test to get it onto the ballot. Now it's going to be challenged. It's already being challenged. Mm-hmm. A lawsuit's been filed by Mike Madigan's election law specialist, Mike Casper. He's the one who sued 2 years ago to keep a similar effort off the ballot. That effort had a lot of other problems, though. It did not pass muster with the State Board of Elections, so it did not meet the minimum requirement, having the number of signatures of registered voters you need to have to get onto the ballot. The Illinois Constitution does not let citizens change very much, and it's fairly strict on how you go about doing that and very limited what you can change. So,
thanks for that, Matt. And you said, does Reboot Illinois have a very specific position on this issue? I just wanted to clarify that with you.
Yeah, we've been for redistricting reform ever since we started almost 4 years ago, and we were very much behind this effort too. And I know I'm not one. I don't believe that if we go away from the politically drawn maps to an independent commission form, I don't believe that right away you're going to see a beautiful, non-corrupt government, and I don't think what you're going to see is Republicans suddenly surging back from this unfair map that's repressed them to, you know, but what I do think I think that Illinois is a Democratic state, but what I do think you will see is more confidence among voters that this is being done fairly. I do think you'll get a chance to see more competitive races. I think you'll get more people voting in primaries, which we have a horrible record now on voter turnout in primaries because most of the time the parties don't even bother challenging the incumbents. It's not worth their effort.
That's Matt Dietrich. He's an editor of Reboot Illinois. Matt, we got a question on Facebook I know Reboot Illinois, we should identify as a nonpartisan organization. We got a question from one of our audience who wants to know who are the big funders behind Reboot Illinois, if you could answer that for folks.
Oh, actually, Reboot Illinois is owned by an independent media organization called AFK Media. And so we have private donors. We don't have any connection to anyone in Illinois politics. And I can tell you that none of our funders have given donations in Illinois politics, so we're totally independent. Now, I will say, initially, when we were founded in 2012, we had our founding investor. Her name was Ann Diaz Griffin, and she is the former wife of Ken Griffin, who's been a major supporter of Governor Rauner, of course, but we are no longer affiliated in any way. Ann sold us back in March, so we are held by a totally independent, we're a for-profit organization, so that's where we're at.
Thanks for that clarification for our audience. Chris, getting back to the issue of this independent map amendment, what do you think voters need to know about this? It's not clear if it's going to end up, we're not quite sure if it's going to end up on the ballot yet, but if it does, what do people need to know about the issue?
Well, you're right. It may or may not get on the ballot, but if it does, it'll be something pretty unusual in Illinois. We don't get a chance to vote on constitutional provisions very often. The last time was in 1980, so that shows you how long it's been. I should say citizen-initiated changes. There's ones that come from the legislature oftentimes. People need to take it seriously. They need to vote on it. One way or the other, it's a little arcane, unlike term limits, which people kind of get. It's fairly simple, though the impacts and what the implications are not simple. But redistricting, it seems like a little bit of inside baseball. They need to realize that it is important. Like Matt, I don't think it's going to be a panacea, but I do think I agree with Matt that the thing that might be the most beneficial out of it is citizen a little bit of restoration of confidence. Our confidence in the state government has been just battered in the last decade and a half in this state. And
well, when we think about that President good. Obama saying in Springfield when he was here, saying, "Hey, you guys need to work on redistricting," I remember how quiet the chamber got when he said it was the one time everybody was pretty quiet when he said, "Look, I know that this is something that," when he was trying to give his bipartisan speech. But that's my last question to both of you. We just have about a minute or two left. Chris, do you think that there is so much anger, there is so much frustration, people want to vote people out of office and they actually really can't. So how do you think people will be expressing themselves in the next couple of months?
Answering random questions from the media on the street in an angry way, perhaps.
Do you think it's going to affect turnout?
It may, and in fact, it may depress turnout because after, you know, usually negative campaigning depresses turnout. You're trying to make the other guy look so bad that either supporters don't want to do it. You're not trying to change anybody's mind, and that's the typical thing. And if both sides are doing it at the presidential level, it may really drive down turnout. But who knows? I mean, maybe it's that's just past history. Maybe everybody's so angry this year they're actually going to get out there and vote for the one they dislike the least.
Matt, you have 30 seconds to have the last word. Go ahead.
Going back to the caller who said that the Democrats, that Madigan passed the budget bill that was billions of dollars out of balance, I just want to remind everyone, this has been a team effort. Governor Rauner's own budget that he proposed in February is about $3.5 billion out of balance, and even more based on what some of the watchdog groups, especially the Civic Federation in Chicago, has said. So this budget problem is totally a bipartisan team effort in Springfield. It's not one side or the other.
That's Matt Dietrich. He's an editor at Reboot Illinois, joining us from Springfield. Thanks also to Chris Mooney with IGPA here in studio with me in Champaign-Urbana. Thanks to everyone who called and tweeted. That's it for us today. Special thanks to WUIS's Sarah Mueller for her help today. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Tomorrow, we're going to be looking at the problem of student hunger over summer break and what some in Illinois are doing to help. Thanks, as always, for listening. You can keep the conversation going. Go to our website for more details, www.21stshow.org.